I think people want relevance. At the heart, that's what people want. They want to be able to get the right products or content at the right time. And that's where that personalization is key. And we've seen that increasingly. People just expect the right information or the right content to be served to them, but they don't necessarily understand what that means in terms of the data or the privacy side of stuff. But I think on the flip side of it, what they are expecting is to feel secure in the way that that's being used. For me, that means about giving them the control to be able to switch on and off the right settings that help them feel secure.
Die Facebook Marketing Experten. Dein Kurzpodcast aus erster Hand. Für alle Marketinglösungen auf Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp und Messenger.
Hi and welcome to episode number 29 of Die Facebook Marketing Experten. My name is Ramona and I'm a product marketing manager at Facebook in Hamburg. In case you are wondering why I'm speaking English today, there is a very good reason. Today is the day of our virtual main event, the Facebook Marketing Summit, and it will be the biggest one we ever did. In addition to cutting-edge insights, success stories, and inspirational breakout sessions, the program features keynotes and talks with top-class speakers. For two of the sessions, we've also prepared audio-only options for you, and I'm happy to offer you exclusively one of these as a sneak preview already here on our podcast channel. The loyal listeners among you may have heard episode 21, in which I discussed with Michael Peach data protection and privacy topics, as well as the cookieless future. Today, our very own Nicola Mendelssohn, who is Vice President for Europe, Middle East and Africa at Facebook, will also discuss the topic of personalization and privacy and the changing ads ecosystem with Florian Heinemann, the general partner and co-founder of Project A Ventures. He has already been a podcast guest on our channel back in 2018. In addition, Nicola welcomes as well Joe Dix, who is the Global Head of Digital of WWF International. In case you haven't already registered for the Facebook Marketing Summit, you will find all information in the show notes of this episode. But enough from me now, I'm directly handing over to Nicola. Please enjoy the news episode.
As we look ahead into the future of business and advertising, we also know that people's privacy expectations have shifted. And it's really important to acknowledge that the ways that the digital advertising ecosystem collects and uses data will also evolve. And at the same time, for many businesses and NGOs, digital marketing has been an absolute lifeline, especially over the last 15 months of the global crisis that we found ourselves in. Now at Facebook, our approach is to build privacy-enhancing technologies that allow for a sustainable, ad-supported internet that can benefit both people and businesses, because we believe that personalization and privacy can coexist. Now, the industry needs to evolve to better meet people's expectations, and we do need to have an open conversation what we as marketeers and business leaders from all categories, from big business, from SMBs, from nonprofit organizations, what we can all do to ensure people's privacy and personalized experiences are not at odds. And that's why we have here today to have this conversation with Dr. Florian Heinemann, who is the co-founder and partner at Project A Ventures, and also Joe Dix, who is the Global Head of Digital at WWF. Welcome to you both.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, Joe, great to see you both. And I'm loving your little panda in the background there.
Thank you. Welcome. Yeah.
Right, let's jump in. Let's talk about the important subject of consumer choice. I'm interested in what shifts you've noticed, and also what are the short and long-term repercussions of people's increasing desire for privacy? Why don't we go to you, Joe, first?
Thank you. Yes. So, I mean, we've obviously seen a huge increase in people's access to information, but also products on the internet, and consumer choice has just grown exponentially over the last few decades. We're now carrying things like supercomputers around in our pockets and can just access any product that really exists in the world at a click of a button. And obviously that makes things like personalized ads really important to allow people to get the right product served to them and make sure they're not just being bombarded with every option that's out there in the world. But as you say, kind of personalization and the data side of that has become more and more prevalent for people. And their concerns are obviously very valid around how that data is being used. And I think really what we're seeing is these two kind of points that are really important in how we as marketeers deliver that information to people, and that's making sure we're transparent around how the data is being used, but also allowing them that control to be able to select and choose how their data is being used. I think that's really vital to ensuring that these concerns are being addressed, but also that people can feel comfortable around how the data is being used. But for me, I think it's really important that we kind of understand that none of this is particularly new, and that personalization isn't a new thing for marketers. You know, I think, you know, for decades we've relied on this as a profession, as an industry, and we've always made assumptions about demographics. You know, if it were about the TV shows that you're watching, or the bus that you ride, or the newspaper that you read, or even maybe the area of town that you live in, if we're thinking around kind of the out of home advertising. But it's only really the kind of the changes around the data that's being stored now, the fact that this is more personal and generally, I suppose, a bit more in-depth as well, is I think where a lot of this concern comes from, where we need to alleviate that side of stuff. And we need to do that to make sure that we're addressing these risks that, as I say, come from this now this myriad of choice that exists in the wide world. Because otherwise, I think the real risks that we end up encountering are producing ads for people that are less relevant and serving content that is less relevant for consumers. But also, you know, for us as marketeers, things becoming more expensive. And especially when, you know, for an organization like WWF, you know, ROI and the cost effectiveness of the ads and the marketing we're putting out is so vital. So we need to be really selective about how we're spending those supporter funds to reach the right people. And so that presents a real risk for us if we're not able to do that any longer.
Florian, same question to you. What do you think are some of the short and long-term repercussions of this increasing desire for privacy?
Yeah, I think a very big risk in this, and I think we're currently seeing that to quite a large extent. That, you know, everything is, it's a very diffuse discussion around privacy, and I think everything's being put into one bucket. And I would personally argue that personalized advertising per se is quite a light intrusion into somebody's privacy. Yeah, so you're not really entering the deep personal sphere, but you're just showing people products that very likely or content that very likely might fit the needs and the interests of a given user, of a given person in that moment in time, and that's a good thing. Yeah, I mean for the very reason that Joe has just pointed out. Yeah, there's so much stuff out there, whether it's products or content. Well done, personalization helps you in a way and makes advertising and communication a lot more efficient. Because let's be 100% clear, if we decrease the level of personalization on the ad side, you won't see less ads. Yeah, you'll just see worse ads. And I think that's sometimes a little bit mixed up in this discussion. That you know, first of all, there's very various layer of privacy that 100% would see as a very deep intrusion to somebody's privacy. I think personalized ads, personally, are not a part of that. And the other thing that I think we have to consider here is that the skilled usage and a sophisticated usage of the mechanisms that people like Facebook or Google have put into advertisers' hands, you know, not only of organizations like yours, Joe, but also startups, small, medium-sized businesses, democratizing the access of media and giving you the tools to be very specific and very granular in your targeting only enabled you to do this kind of communication. The moment you take that away or reduce that, there is at least the risk that, you know, targeting becomes inefficient for smaller organizations. For the large organizations, it doesn't make a big difference. Yeah? If you're Procter & Gamble, 70% of the people are your target group anyway. Yeah. So things like dispersion loss or niche audiences are not something that you're very interested in. But the moment you're interested in niche target groups, special target groups, you're requiring a certain level of targeting. And that doesn't mean that you want to intrude that target, that audience's privacy, but it's more about, I just want to reach the people that I think or have an indication where it might be relevant to them. Yeah. And I think where we are running right now, or what we're running right now into, is kind of the risk that in a kind of diffuse privacy or privacy discussion, all of these things are just put into one big bucket. And I think that's not a fair a treatment of this, because it has been a major enabler of startups. It has been a major enabler of small and medium-sized businesses over the last two decades that we have this kind of possibility.
So I want to just pick up on a couple of things that you said there, Florian, because at your heart, you're saying that maybe people don't truly understand what all this means. And it's almost like an education piece.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering, whose responsibility is it to actually educate people about personalized advertising and privacy?
Yeah, that's a very interesting. I mean, the one thing is who should educate? Yeah, and that should probably be the advertisers. Yeah, because and I guess also people like Facebook but definitely all the advertisers are benefiting from it probably the most. And also the media companies that are, you know, that are benefiting from being able to distribute personalized content in a personalized kind of way. And I guess it would be their main benefit to communicate it. And the other question for me is who regulates in this regard? Yeah. So can a company like Apple just decide that they're doing something to that extent? I think we all would agree that, you know, more regulation is very likely needed in this regard. Yeah. Like who can take these kind of decisions and who determines what's the right level of privacy for individuals and what kind of level?
Joe, I want to ask you as a charity, how you actually engage with people on our platforms. What role does personalized advertising actually play, for example, in fundraising?
I mean, it's a great question. And for an organization like ours, personalized ads are vital to what we're doing as an organization. And fundraising is obviously a really key part for it. But it's, I think, you know, it's not just fundraising for us. You know, we find ourselves playing as ambassadors for Earth a lot of the time as well, and helping raise the issues for the planet and trying to grow generally a pool of people who are prepared to tackle those issues and willing to make impact. And, you know, as an NGO, we don't have endless budgets, and we need to be really careful around how we're using supporter funds and how we're making sure we're reaching the right people to have the most effect possible. And so, yeah, personalized ads are such an important, vital tool in our arsenal to be able to do that, to make sure we're achieving ROI and cost effectiveness. And for an organization like ours as well, that's global, you know, things like being able to match the right messages to the right people in the right locations and be able to localize those messages are really key. We also need to be making sure we're reaching new people and we're escaping our echo chamber. And especially when we're, as I say, playing those ambassadors for Earth, that we're making sure we're doing that and not just talking within our own circles all the time. And increasingly, we find ourselves dealing with people who are very busy. And we've got a phrase we use a little internally, which is about hitting the right person at the wrong time. And actually, when we're able to do things like retarget people and reach people that we know we've hit already, but make sure we're getting that second contact with them, that is so important for cultivating long-lasting relationships and building these communities of people who genuinely care and want to take action long-term.
Brian, what about you? Because you're an investor in a whole range of different size companies, so you've got a really broad industry perspective. What roles personalized advertising played in the growth of your companies?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, we have invested mostly into B2C companies, so companies facing consumers. And for us, I mean, you know, what you usually do as a startup, we invest early, so in a seed phase or pre-seed phase. And in order to get your first customers, you have to start small and ideally target a niche first where you would expect the best response on your product. Then if you're successful, you go broader. Yeah. So you move kind of in concentric circles in your target, your prospective target group. And if you wouldn't be able to start small, and start narrow, it would be a lot more difficult, you know, to really find the product market fits for. So for startup companies to be able to, you know, start in a niche first, then grow broader, is absolutely essential to go along this path of, you know, broadening your audience and growing. That's just the natural way that this has been. And this has also been critical because for startups or small companies in general, I think being smarter and more sophisticated in using those kind of tools has been a differentiator. Yeah, because obviously, if you're servicing a niche really well in the beginning, that's something where you can be more efficient and more cost effective than other larger organizations are that target a broader audience. Yes.
Joe, what do you think consumers actually want when it comes to personalization?
I think the thing with personalization is honestly, I don't think consumers really know what they want. But I think a balance is needed. I think, you know, as we've said already, I think people want relevance. At the heart, that's what people want. They want to be able to get the right products or content at the right time. And that's where that personalization is key. I think we've seen that increasingly. People just expect the right information or the right content to be served to them. But they don't necessarily understand what that means in terms of the data or the privacy side of stuff. But I think on the flip side of it, what they are expecting is to feel secure in the way that that's being used. And for me, that means about giving them the control to be able to switch on and off the right settings that they might help them feel secure, but also the transparency around how it's being used. And I think, as we've touched on already, the education to be able to appreciate what those things mean, that to be able to be served that right content, to be able to be served the right relevant information, that there needs to be an element of kind of personalization and that being used, the data or the information about them being used to be able to serve that.
Florian, what about you? What do you think consumers want when it comes to personalization?
I think obviously the main thing is fit to their current interest and need. And I think the other thing is that you actually learn if people are not interested. Yeah. So reacting, if people don't click on something or don't engage with something after it has been shown to them twice or so, yeah, that you don't continue to show to them. You know, what you've often seen in retargeting kind of campaigns, especially in the beginning. So I think like frequency capping, these kind of things would be the term for advertisers. I think that's key. I think that the other thing is really putting a lot of effort into the creative or the creation. So where people see, okay, it's not just about selling me something in a really direct and blunt kind of way, but actually where you feel, okay, also there's been some love that went into the creation of the creative. I think that also helps because obviously you feel respected as a user if you feel that people put in some love. But I think those probably the main things. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is use the data to really understand what the consumers are wanting. If they're embracing with the ads, then that's a great thing. If they're not, then look at the creative, look at the targeting, or look at maybe that they're not the right customer for you, and then go and look for some other consumers they might be better served. Now, there's a risk of over-regulation in Europe today. What do you think as an industry we can be doing to really clearly communicate the values of personalized advertising to consumers? Florian, I'll come to you.
Yeah. I think what has to be clear, and I think that's what we have in the current discussion, is not, you know, kind of discussed in a really kind of balanced way. You often have kind of the notion more privacy or more privacy is good. Yeah, and the trade-off that, yes, generally the notion of having more privacy is good, but there are some consequences to that, and I think that is a key thing to showing, okay, there might be some level of light intrusion into somebody's privacy by, you know, showing them personalized ads compared to the benefits that has for the consumer, but also for a lot of businesses and other players that are participating here. I think it has to be much more or much clearer. We have to be much better in communicating that there is this trade-off, yeah, and that an intrusion in privacy that comes with personalized ads does not have anything to do with kind of, you know, a deep intrusion to somebody's privacy and really kind of spying on somebody. That's I think something that's often put into one bucket, and that's just very separate things.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think there is an education piece around kind of the governments and the regulators around this. And I think, as we were mentioning earlier, the people that will suffer the most when it comes to, if we were to remove the ability to deliver things like personalized ads and personalized content, are going to be the small, the medium-sized businesses. It's going to be NGOs that can't afford to just pile millions and millions into blind advertising and just hoping that you hit the right people. I think when it comes to that regulation side of stuff, I think that needs to be understood, that actually you're going to be harming the people who are trying to grow the most. And I think the other thing is, when it comes to educating the public around this, it's about really selling the benefits of this and making sure that people are aware of, as Florian says, the trade-off that happens with here, that actually you maybe give a little bit in terms of your privacy, but that brings relevance and ease. And then for us, I think there's a selling point that's beyond just what people imagine, that, you know, you're being sold a product or a widget. Actually, from an NGO's perspective, you know, there's this element of helping people help people, and that we're helping people find the causes that generally interest and inspire them. And that's where that targeting side of stuff is so important and valuable to us as an organization. And hopefully is something that people, the public, can understand a little bit more, that it's not just about, you know, sales and cash trading hands, but actually it's about making a difference in the world, and making sure the right people are being brought along that journey.
We are out of time. So thank you both for joining me today. It's been a fantastic, interesting, insightful conversation. And I think we're all agreeing that both personalization and privacy can definitely coexist. And when it's done well, the customer wins, but also the business or the NGO wins as well. But we also, I think, understand that this is really just the start of a much larger shift that's happening in the advertising ecosystem. And these large shifts, well, they're not new to us at Facebook. We've partnered with you to help navigate the consumer shift to mobile over the last decade. And in the same way, we're here to help you transition to a privacy-first but personalized future. And we really only have just scratched the surface on some of the topics that we've discussed today. But we're certainly excited to partner with you and your teams on this in the future.
Das Facebook Update, deine wöchentliche Podcast-Dosis aus erster Hand rund um das Thema Digitalisierung. Jetzt abonnieren in der Podcast-App eurer Wahl und up to date bleiben.
Dieser Podcast wird produziert von Podstars bei OMR.